Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We told you we're going to punt the golf to hour number two. It is time now to receive that punt and start talking some golf. And we'll do that with the great Jimmy Roberts, who is in Northern Ireland, day one of the Open Championship, yielding all sorts of results. Some legends just knocked to their knees, some upstarts really flashing. And Jimmy's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, great NBC reporter. Jimmy, how are you today, buddy?
What's up, guys? Always a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. No, it's really good to have you. Obviously, a time difference, and you're hustling, of course, doing your job. So we appreciate you carving out some time. Let me start with this here, Jimmy. We got a little bit of everything. I mean, we got a 66, got a 67, got 13 68s, leaderboard peppered with big names, Koepka, Sergio's playing well. But really, the first shot for Rory and Tiger, and I don't think this is an overstatement, the first shot of the day for both, it was obvious the tracks were, or the train was off the tracks. Tiger, I expected. What happened to Rory McIlroy today?
You know, I talked to Rory after the round, and I asked him specifically, is it possible to want something too much? And he said no, but, you know, I think a lot of golfers will tell you that when you miss because you're anxious, and you're a right-handed golfer, you're going to miss left because that means maybe you're a little twitchy. And for those who didn't see it, I mean, this guy holds the course record here. He shot 61 as a 16-year-old. He had his first shot out of bounds left. So he re-tees, so he's hitting his third, hits that into the rough, hits his fourth shot into a lie that's unplayable, ends up with a quadruple bogey on his first hole. And in essence, his week is over after one hole. So, I mean, it was shocking. I don't really think there's any way you could call it anything else. I mean, he did battle back. I think he got it to two over par. Now the thing is going to be, we're going to have to see if he's going to be able to make the cut, which I don't think anybody had really ever thought was going to be something we were talking about.
That's incredible. And Jimmy, I was watching the interview live when, and listen, he was incredibly classy. He was a pro's pro, the way he comported himself with you. And it's funny, you referenced the question that I wanted to bring up. You asked him whether or not he wanted it too much. And, you know, sometimes you do an interview, I know you're clearly paying attention, but I don't know if you caught this because I did as a viewer. He started to say, you know, maybe other people wanted it more for me than I did. And I'm like, wow, that's an interestingly, maybe too candid of an admission. And I'm asking the question, does Rory McIlroy, does he still aspire to be the best golfer in the world? It doesn't always seem like he does.
No, I don't think there's any question that he wants to be the best golfer in the world. Listen, you know, I had a couple of people say this to me today after that interview, is that maybe what he needs to be is more of a jerk. You know, but he's a really well-balanced human being. You know, as he's walking out and I thanked him for coming, he says, listen, you know, I got a great family. I'm disappointed about today, but I'm going to go visit with my family and friends. That's a pretty, you know, evolved way to think about this. And I have to tell you guys, I've talked to enough elite athletes to understand that, you know, it's a pretty intense thing that they do, whatever it is they do, and you burn pretty hot. And, you know, I just think he's one of the more balanced people in this game that I've ever been around. You know, maybe he needs to be more of a jerk. I've heard people say that. Of course, I'm glad he's not every time I'm the person who's charged with the responsibility of talking to him.
Yeah, I hear you. That's Jimmy Roberts, a great talent, great reporter, a longtime NBC Sports. Jimmy out there, Royal Portrush, contributing to the Golf Channel and NBC Live, their live tournament coverage of the 148th Open Championship Thursday through Sunday. Got live coverage around 2, beginning on the Golf Channel at 1:30 a.m. Eastern, all the way up until 4 p.m. Eastern. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Jimmy, it's been 68 years since Royal Portrush had hosted the Open Championship. We didn't know a lot about it. I had never seen it. I'm seeing it for the first time. It looks actually great. What's it like out there in person, live, for us that are across the pond? What's it like to be there?
TK, I got to tell you something. So I was out on the course today, and I ran into two guys who have caddied between them in close to 40 Open Championships. One of them told me it's the best Open venue he's ever been to. The other one told me, and he's a guy who has a little bit more experience than the other guy, he said it's immediately in the top five golf courses that he has ever seen.
Wow.
It's a spectacular place. I remember I came here first in 1995 when they held the Senior Open here, the Senior British Open here. And it's really hard to describe. I mean, how do you describe the color blue? How do you describe a great song? You know, what you see here is just pretty special. And I think that, you know, the golf course, the lay of the land, it's really unusual. The town is just a really charming little place. You know, it's up on, you know, the end of the earth. It's just a very cool place. They've only held the Open Championship outside of Scotland and England twice in 148 years. Both of those times it was held here. The last time they held it here was 1951, and a guy named Max Faulkner won. Interestingly enough, when they held that Senior British Open in 1995 here, mm-hmm. his son-in-law won.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. It's just a cool place. I don't know how to describe it in any other way than that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I get a chance to see it again.
Yeah,
I'm glad this is a place I get to earn a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. You're one of the lucky ones. Well, the weather, I think, is unpredictable always at the Open Championship. There was a lot of rain before, got a good day today. What's it supposed to be like for the rest of the week and weekend? And who does that benefit if it gets a little sideways?
Well, I got to say, so today, so a friend of mine texted me and said, "What's the weather like over there?" And I said, I have used my umbrella and my sunglasses about equal amounts of time today walking the golf course. And I think that's basically what it's about. We had rain all day the other day, 2 days ago. But I think it's supposed to basically be like this. So you just, you know, don't know what you're going to get. That's number one. Number two, who does it benefit? It always, when there's bad weather, it always benefits those who are playing well. Because those who are not playing well are going to struggle more.
Yeah.
And those who are playing well, they're going to, you know, they're going to get separated away. I will say this. There are a couple of interesting things about this. These are probably the slowest greens that these guys will play maybe all year. I mean, forget about a major championship. They're 10 on what they call the stimp meter, which is a measurement of speed.
They're 10?
Normally on the PGA
10?
Tour, they play them, you know, 10, yeah.
Wow, that is slow.
Normally, you won't find a PGA Tour event that's played at any slower than 12.
No.
And that's a big difference.
Oh, that's crazy.
So there's that. The fairways are wide. Jim Furyk told me today, we were just chatting about this course, because so many guys are seeing this for the first time ever. He said, you know, it's incredibly fair. So, you know, if you play well, you get rewarded here. You know, there are major championships where people feel... And I think basically it's fair to say it's happened at the U.S. Open where, you know, you can play well and not walk away with the results you deserve. I think that's not going to be the case here. I think you're basically going to reap what you sow.
Nice, nice. So there's no, like, par three at Shinnecock where they got to come out and water the green and it's utterly unfair like they had to do under Retief Goosen and what was that, 04, whatever it was, 03, 04? None of that stuff is
exactly.
You said, right, Jimmy?
No, and, you know, the thing is, it's first of all, it's a different ball game over here, PT. The deal is that, you know, because the weather plays such a big part in the way these golf courses play, they need to leave room for the wind to really, really blow, because the wind blows a lot as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make these greens too fast and the wind blows, you'll have a complete disaster, not on one green, but on all of them.
Makes sense.
So
yeah.
They err on the side of being conservative. And, you know, the end result is that, you know, if you're playing well, you can shoot a score here.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Well, I think it's probably safe to say that David Duval is not going to come back and win this event. And, listen, the last thing I'm trying to do is pile on a guy who at one point was the number one player in the world, and I think he does a great job. We've had him on the show. I like him on the Golf Channel. I think he's fascinating to listen to because where he was and where he is, it's the exact polar opposites. But I got to bring this up, and I don't know how you're going to answer this, and I don't know what the solution is. He's got the exemption until the age of 60 by virtue of his win. I believe it was Royal Lithium when he won his Open Championship. Today, shoots a 91. Yeah. As I said, six bogeys, a 7, an 8, a 14. Now, I don't know who was paired up with David Duval, but if I'm playing with a guy and I'm trying to win or make a cut and a guy's shooting a 91, that's just utterly unacceptable. Don't you think they need to, as the hitters get longer, I think it's getting tougher to have these guys with these almost lifelong exemptions still come out, compete, and try to win. Is there something in between, a middle ground solution? Because you can't have this. You can't have this in pro golf.
Yeah, but listen, I think it's gonna self-govern, because I believe me, he doesn't want to come out here and do that either. So I think, you know, I actually saw him last night. I don't really have an answer for you on that one. I can't imagine he's going to want to come back and do this again, you know. So I think it's kind of going to be a self-governing situation. But
it's tough to watch.
Listen, this happens. Guys shoot big numbers, really, really big numbers. Not generally a 91 by the guy who was a former number one player in the world. I don't have an explanation for that. And like you said, certainly don't know if I have an answer, but I don't know if there's any way you can legislate this. So I think it's just going to have to be chalked up to one of those really, truly unfortunate happenstances.
Yeah. No, Jimmy, I don't know if you got a chance to talk to Tiger Woods while you were out there, but he also had a rough day. Plus 7, 78 on the round. He was scuffling at some points. The easiest hole I was watching before I started to come into work, he bogeyed it. What do you see from Tiger?
He's what? You know, what is he? I may have this wrong. He's 43 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I think his body's been through the ringer. Tiki, you know, I mean, you know what it's like to compete when your body doesn't behave the same way, you know, today as it did, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And he's had, how many surgeries has he had? He didn't look comfortable. He referenced it after the round. He said that, you know, he wasn't feeling terribly comfortable. I think the problem with Tiger is that our expectations are so unrealistic. Look, he won the Masters, which was magnificent. But you have to understand what the Masters is. Tiger has always struggled with his driving accuracy. And I actually have the notes somewhere in my backpack. But if you go back and look, he has struggled with his driving accuracy. You don't have to drive the ball terribly accurately at Augusta National. He has got an enormous, enormous amount of confidence and local knowledge at Augusta National. So I think that we shouldn't be shocked that that happened. It was one for the ages. But this is a different ball game. And the U.S. Open, a different ball game, who has the challenges that Tiger does. And the same with the PGA Championship. And I think that what happened, and I probably said this on your show before, Tiger Woods ruined golf. Now, what I mean by that is that he came along and made us think that what he was doing was normal. It's not normal.
Yeah.
It was like he was like from another planet. You know, golfers lose. You know, we say that a Hall of Famer in baseball is somebody who fails 7 out of 10 times because they're a career 300 hitter. Think about Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus won 20-something percent of the time. That's the greatest golfer of all time. Well, Tiger Woods, you know, came along and started to win 8, 9, 10 times in a year, a couple of majors, and his winning percentage was in the 30s. He did things that, you know, nobody had done either forever or, you know, only rarely in history. And people who were new to the game, totally compelled by it, looked at it and said, oh, that's the way this is. No, that's not the way this is. He was Halley's Comet. And I think that we need to be much, much more realistic. And especially, you know, on the heels of what he did this year, I think it kind of rekindled a lot of people's feelings about, oh, he's back. He'll just do what he did before. It's really not the way it works.
No, it's not. That's Jimmy Roberts, NBC. Jimmy, just 15, 20 seconds. We've got to go on. I know you've got to do some things as well. We've got a -5, a -4. We have 12, 3 under pars. Winning score higher or lower than 15 under par? Which way would you go right now, knowing what you know and seeing what you've seen?
It's going to be higher than 15 under par. I mean, my guess would be somewhere around 10 to 11, something like that.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Jimmy, great stuff. Appreciate it. Go grab a pint or two, actually.
All right, guys. Always good to be with you.
Likewise.
Pleasure.
Be good, Jimmy.
There you go. Jimmy, of course, contributing to Golf Channel, NBC's live tournament coverage, the 148th Open Championship, Thursday through Sunday, live coverage round two on the Golf Channel at 1:30 a.m. Eastern, all the way up until 4 Eastern tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.